and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Another mass shooting, this time at a shopping mall near Dallas. KRLD radio reporter Alan Skaya is in Allen, Texas.
Seven people were shot and killed here at the Allen Premium Outlets. Collin County Administrative Judge Chris Hill says two more died at the hospital. Seven others were hurt.
My family and I are heartbroken and devastated for the loss of life that we experienced today in our community, and we're angry.
He says the shooter was among the nine who have died. Investigators do not have a motive.
The president will meet with congressional leaders on Tuesday at the White House to discuss how to keep the U.S. from defaulting on its debts. Here's CBS's Nicole Killian.
Clearly, all sides are far apart at this point. The White House continues to insist that it wants a clean debt limit increase without any kind of preconditions. And that's something that Speaker McCarthy is not bringing to the table. His conference passed this wide-ranging bill that would raise the debt limit and shred some $4.5 trillion from federal programs, but that simply goes too far for the president.
A lot of migrants are expected at the southern border this week when Title 42 expires. Reporter Chris Fox is in Austin.
The situation at the border is a very serious one, a very challenging one, and a very difficult one.
Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, reviewing operations along the Texas-Mexico border, says they're prepared to handle what happens after the COVID-era restrictions are lifted, but it won't be easy.
We urge Congress to fix our broken immigration system.
El Paso is setting up mega shelters in preparation. Mayor Oscar Leeser.
We are preparing to go into the schools. We're going to prepare to go into the civic center if necessary.
There are calls for charges to be filed against the man responsible for the chokehold killing of Jordan Neely on a New York subway train. The Reverend Al Sharpton says no charges sets a bad precedent.
A mental issue on a train is not to be sentenced with death.
A California task force calls for billions in reparations for Black residents. Representative Barbara Lee.
Reparations are a tangible reroute to acknowledging and making amends to the glaring economic and social impacts, generational impacts of slavery.
Did you put on a silly hat while sipping on mint juleps watching the 149th Kentucky Derby yesterday? The call on NBC Sports.
And it is going to be Mage to win the Kentucky Derby.
Yes, Mage with the win, a come-from-behind win, bringing trainer Gustavo Delgado and jockey Javier Castellano their first garland of roses. This is CBS News.
Find your next great hire with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I'm asking about Prevnar 20 because there's a chance pneumococcal pneumonia could put me in the hospital.
Age 65 or older, you may be at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
I want to be able to keep my plans.
So I'm asking my doctor about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
Radio advertising can change your business in a flash. Go from waiting around to no time to spare in no time flat. Do you have an event, need to hire, or have a message you need to get out? Call me, Ashley, today, 715-295-4922, because marketing starts early.
You should call my mom. She's good at this advertising stuff.
Call me today, 715-295-4922, and let's get started.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered showers this afternoon. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies expected. High of 77, northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, chance for scattered thunderstorms, lows level off around 49. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow, 59, overcast. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 56.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Welcome to the 1 o'clock No Sour Ha Ha Funny Hour. No Sour. Happy fun time, haha, power hour. Welcome to the No Sour Fun Time, haha, power hour.
Oh, she did it.
I got it.
I think she's got it. By George, she's got it. By George, she's got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada. Wisconsin, welcome to the No Sour, haha, fun time, power hour on this beautiful 75 degree sunny Friday afternoon. Maybe you've already opened a Corona. If you have, I am jealous.
Sitting on the porch.
Not a lot of those for me these days.
No, you got a couple of months.
And so, but we are marching towards the weekend with 1 hour left. And our guests for this half hour, I am so excited to talk to. You know, earlier this week, we talked to Oriana Carey from the Coalition for Children, Youth, and Families, because it is National Foster Care Month. And today, we're going to continue on that conversation, on that topic, and we are joined by Susan Conwell, who is the Executive Director of Kids Matter Incorporated, and Anna, who is actually someone who graduated out of the foster care system. And so having a conversation, I think earlier this week, we talked about families and the people who, either foster parents, kinship parents, adoptive parents, but now kind of shifting to the kids and talking about what the kids go through, what the kids need, what resources are available. And so I'm so excited to have both of you here today.
Thank you.
So I guess I definitely want to talk to you, Anna, about your story. But Susan, brief overview of what Kids Matters Incorporated does.
Sure. We work with caregiving families, youth in care. Today, one in 20 kids will be taken in by someone who's not a parent. There are a lot of kids who are being helped out by grandparents, aunts, uncles, older siblings. And we provide free help both in the how to navigate systems and free legal services. So we are always happy to help. We've got a lot of resources, everything from how do you assist with a loved one's addiction while you're navigating that path, to just, as one grandma said to me, look, I've always been connected to my grandkids, but when my daughter had that problem, I knew what school they went to, but not what bus line. And there's just so much to navigate when you become the primary caregiver. So always happy to help.
Absolutely. So then, Anna, I guess you're an adult.
I am.
But as far as kind of, tell us more about your background and your story as far as going through the foster care system.
Sure. So I grew up the middle child of 11 to a primarily single mom.
Wow.
I lost my biological dad to cancer when I was 6. So most of my childhood until I went into foster care was with a single mom. With most of the children at home. And there was substance abuse and undiagnosed mental health going on. So we had a lot of CPS interaction until I went into care in at 14.
Okay.
We lived in a few different counties throughout Wisconsin. We moved around a lot. We touched a lot of systems, but we didn't stay very long. So when we were visiting family in Milwaukee from Iron County, which is up by Superior.
You were born up north?
I was born in Milwaukee. I lived a few years up in Hurley, Wisconsin. Okay. And then we were visiting family back in Milwaukee when my biological mom, injured my older sister with a flagpole over getting laundry done. So it was something that escalated very quickly, but it was the norm for us. Mm-hmm. And my sister, that time when this happened, she went walking down the road and she was determined not to come back. So she just left and she was walking down 7 Mile in Caledonia, and somebody picked her up somewhere in Racine and took her to the hospital. And after she received her medical treatment, we went into care.
Yeah. And so I imagine, as we've talked about before, 11 kids, I'm assuming you did not get to stay with all of your siblings as you were navigating through the system.
I did not. So six of us lived at home and all six of us went into the system. I was moved into a home originally with two of my sisters and my youngest brother, and my other two sisters went elsewhere. When that placement didn't work out, we were moved to Milwaukee. They kept our baby brother in Racine and moved the three girls to Milwaukee. So, and I was never reunited with my siblings.
Are you reunited today?
I am with most of them. As adults, we did get to decide whether we formed our own relationships, and I do have relationships with most of them.
And is that something that you feel like most people don't get as far as how hard it is to keep families together as far as siblings?
Yeah, I think, I mean, if there's six of you, how many homes in the foster care system can take six kids at one time? And even if they do, how many homes have all six kids stay until they age out? And then what does the visitation dynamic look like for those kids when some go home and some don't? Because the kids have no control over that. It is between the worker and the parents and the foster parent.
And so I guess that's the thing as far as, and Susan, you can answer this as well, or Anna, like how much in the system as it is today, like agency do kids have until they turn 18? As far as like how much do you get listened to? How much does what you want get taken into account? Like is it dependent on who your caseworkers are? But like how much do you feel like the people who this is affecting the most, which are the kids, actually get heard?
As far as going into care, of course, you have no choice over that. But because I was 14 when I went into care, I got to decide if I went home with my siblings or if I stayed in Milwaukee in my foster home. And of course, that is dependent on if there is a home for you to stay in. My foster mom fought for us. She kept us if we wanted to be there. And we were very lucky to have that. So we did get a choice. My sister and I did choose to stay. But outside of that, we did not have much choice. We didn't choose whether or not we saw our siblings. We didn't choose the school we went to or the rules we followed. And we didn't really have a choice over what our path looked like from that point on.
Is that something? Do you think there's more room to incorporate that as far as or is it at another level of complication in an already complicated system?
There are some things that I think youth do have decision over, and giving them the choices to make that decision. When you're 14, you don't know what your choices are. I knew that my choices were go to school, don't break the law, don't get kicked out of your home. And when you turn 18, graduate high school and go to college. Those were my choices.
Yeah.
So if they were opened up to all of the choices that young people have and somebody was breaking that down for me, I believe that I would have been able to make more choices for myself.
We're talking to Susan Conwell, who is the executive director of Kids Matter Incorporated, and Anna, who is a graduated foster youth, but now an adult, as we continue our conversation around National Foster Care Month. And one unique, I think, as far as bucking the stereotype of foster care and what gets portrayed in the media is
you are Caucasian, Anna.
I am.
But your foster mom and foster family were Black.
She was.
And so the kind of, how is, like, what kind of racial stereotypes do you think get thrown out there that are just false? Or what have you, what did that experience teach you?
So I had no preconceived notion of what this would look like going in, but thinking as an adult, the stereotype of a foster family taking in four kids is not a single Black woman in her late 60s taking in white kids. And we aren't the only family that this happened with. It is just the stereotypes we make in our society. But yeah, we moved in. We had two foster sisters who were Hispanic, and then my foster mom and her family were Black, and it didn't mean anything to us. Being from a small town, it was trouble for my family, and my biological mom had more trouble with there being a race aspect than we did. We didn't ever think about that.
That's super. I just found that part of your story to be really interesting as far as, one, the range of people who become foster parents and the range of people, the youth who are in the foster care system, and not to make assumptions about that. And I guess because when we come back from the next break, I want to talk about what it was like to graduate through the program and kind of what resources are available that people don't think about of once you're magically 18, what that looks like. But as far as in the couple minutes we have left in this segment, talking more about what are some of the other assumptions or myths that you think people get wrong when they think about foster care and foster youth?
The first thing that comes to mind is thinking about a teenager in the foster care system, you assume that they did something wrong to get there. You assume that they have broken the law or they are skipping school or they are doing something that put them there, when most kids are victims of addiction or poverty or
violence.
So I think that's a big stereotype that people think, especially for teens. And I knew a handful of teenagers in care when I was in high school, and we were all going to class. We all were college bound. We were doing what we needed to do and following rules that were set for us. And I've known many teens after turning 18 who are doing the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess when we come back, we'll hear more about, I think, the what it's like to age out of the system and what's available, because at one point, all of a sudden, there is a lot of people invested in your case, and then all of a sudden, they're not there.
Yes.
And what does that look like? And what resources and, like, help do you actually get? And then I think we'll also spend some time talking about, like, what does the average person, what can they do? What can they do to help? What shouldn't they do to become more aware? Because this is certainly a problem, as we talked earlier this week, as far as there can never be enough families who are available, especially when it comes to trying to keep kids, like siblings, together, and just different households delivering different needs that are needed from all the different kids who need help right now. So stay tuned. We are talking to Anna, who is a graduated foster youth of Wisconsin, and also Susan Conwell, who is the executive director of the Kids Matter Incorporated. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget, they're made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
Support your local veterans organizations, the Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 2534, and Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 101 by participating in their Brat Fry at Quality Foods, 1021 West Grand Avenue from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on May 13th. Join Dr. Sebastian Zamfir from UW-Stevens Point, who will share a presentation on astronomy followed by a unique stargazing experience using the latest optical technology at the Stanton W. Meade Wildlife Area from 8:30 to 10 p.m. on Saturday, June 13th. It's free and open to the public, and no registration is required.
Funtussle has been your trusted rural internet provider since 2003. Based in Wisconsin and backed by local support, Funtussle brings high-speed internet where others can't or won't. At an honest price, without any contracts or data caps, Funtussle has the plan that's right for you. Get connected with Funtussle today for internet, cellular, and entertainment by calling 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924. Or visit btussle.com.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Mom used to scream about Dad's drinking. It drove me crazy till Mom went to Al-Anon. If someone's drinking troubling you, you might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon or Alateen family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to Al-Anon.org.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Books and pens, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are continuing our conversation around foster care in Wisconsin because it is National Foster Care Month. And we're lucky enough to have Anna here, who is went through the foster care system in Wisconsin. We're also joined by Susan Conwell, who is the executive director of Kids Matter Incorporated. And Anna, I think with something that's interesting with your story, you know, some kids spend a short amount of time when they're kids at some point as being a minor in the system, but you were actually still living with your foster family, foster mom, when you turned 18, right?
I was, yes.
And so what does that process look like? Because I think that's probably something that is hard and but is forgotten as far as going from having a caseworker, having people, like I would assume, check-ins as far as how you're doing and navigating that, to then all of a sudden, well, you are an adult now. You are no longer the state's responsibility. Yeah. And so what is that like?
So as a teenager, I'm sure everybody, but especially when you're coming out of trauma, you aren't thinking about what happens when you turn 18. You're thinking about what happens today and tomorrow, yeah, and keeping yourself safe. So I was going just based off of the options I was given. So I was a quote unquote good student. I went to school, I did my homework. So from the very beginning, my option after aging out was to go to college. I went to a seminar sort of thing for teenagers aging out of foster care. And they told us, if you don't go to college, you will not have anywhere to live because you're going to move into a dorm and that will be your home.
Oh, wow.
So that was my path. That was what was set out for me. Turn 18, go to college. And I did. I graduated high school and I was accepted to a college, and I got there and I didn't know how to be a student. I didn't know how to go to college. I didn't know how to take care of myself as an adult. I think most teenagers have teenage years to adjust to caring for themselves, but I went from 14 to 18 learning how to shower every day and go to school every day and take the bus. And so I didn't build on those skills in time. I didn't have enough time to build on those skills to be successful in college. And I withdrew mid-October.
Oh, wow.
At the suggestion of my college, who said, even if you have nowhere to go back to, find someone to stay with and try again next year so you don't have failing grades on your transcripts.
So that must have been a blow. And so,
it was.
And so where, what was the next step for you?
I came back to Milwaukee and I couch hopped. I stayed with my sister. I stayed with friends. I stayed with a boyfriend, whoever had an open couch, a friend of a friend. I moved around for almost 3 years trying to find some stability. And in that time, I was back in survival mode. I still didn't get to build the skills that I needed to get a job, to get an apartment. Nobody was teaching me how. So
just Anna did work the entire time.
I would assume. And but just because you're working, as we've talked plenty on this show, doesn't mean you're making enough to pay rent, have a car, do all the things that it actually costs to live on your own.
Right. And getting a car loan with no permanent address, or getting a landlord to rent to you.
Or imagine no credit.
Right. No credit. No, you know, rental history is such a big thing for young people, or a co-signer that you don't have because you don't have parents there to vouch for you.
That's kind of all of the obstacles that we take for granted when you have a parent or someone who can help guide you as that dental bill comes up and you're like, hey, can I borrow some money to pay for this root canal or whatever it is, right? That, you know, in your situation, or, and I'm assuming, Susan, this is not an unfamiliar story as far as what a lot of 18-year-olds, as they first are navigating being an adult, ends up looking like.
Right. And people are well-intentioned when they tell youth, go to college, it's going to be your answer. But most youth need an option A, an option B, an option C, and a lot more experience in what it will be like to manage your own apartment, your own money, your own
life skills.
Life skills and relationships that are healthy, positive relationships.
And talking about how you can make money, you can form a career, you can get experience without a degree.
Yeah.
I left this school feeling like I failed, like my whole path was set out for me and I couldn't cut it. And what really ended up working for me was I got a job at a pet store that had a grooming apprenticeship, and they taught me how to groom a skill that could build a career. And it did. It introduced me to caring for animals and working in a field that I had never experienced or seen. But those are the options that we can give youth. Those are the things we can tell them, is you can be an intern. You can get an apprenticeship. You can get a job. You can do a lot of different things other than just go to college. And if college doesn't work for you at that time, you can go do another one of those things until you go back, if you want to go back.
Absolutely. Well, it went by really quickly. But so before we end, in the last minute or so that we have, what would you suggest as far as people who are listening, as far as what they can do to support the foster care system, youths who are in the foster care system? What kind of message do you want to end on?
I think, one, breaking down those stereotypes of what we think about teens in foster care and who they are and how they got there, but also talking to them like you would your own children, if you have them, giving them all of the options that you would give your own child or any other child, so that they can be successful in whatever way that they choose to be.
Absolutely. Susan, any resources you want to make
known? I will encourage people to volunteer, to become court-appointed special advocate volunteers and partner with a teen, because we have a lot of wonderful teens. And it is, if you're only seeing people who are case managers, it's hard to know what else there is in the world as far as job opportunities. And people are looking for good people to work, and we've got a lot of good ones. So.
Well, this was wonderful. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. We'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you. When I wake tomorrow, I'll bet that you and I will walk together again.
I can tell that we are going to be free. Locally grown. Grown Radio. From Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
When times get dark, we can't see the help that's all around us. Let 211 be your guiding light for help with food, healthcare, and other resources.
211, how can I help you?
Call 211 or visit 211.org. 211, get connected, get help.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered showers this afternoon. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies expected. High of 77, northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 49. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow, 59. Overcast. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 56.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. We're almost done for the week, Jane.
Friday.
What do you have going on this weekend?
I am going to work in the garden.
Okay.
And you know how people have guardian angels? I have found a gardening angel.
Oh, what does that mean?
Her name is Mel.
Okay. What does Mel do?
Mel's going to do all the work.
Ah, she's a worker.
Mel is going to do the hard work. She's got a truck and she's got stuff and she has bags and tools and clipper things and she's very impressive.
All right. Where did you meet Mel?
My husband actually found her working at someone else's yard in our neighborhood.
Well, there you go. Yeah. You just poached her?
We got a yard. Sharing. But it's like finding a good babysitter, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, ooh. I'm keeping this one.
I feel like Debbie's had some of those where she has like good workers that work in her yard. And then she is very protective of them, not sharing them with other people. Because then if they're not available when she needs them.
Well, right.
It's a problem.
Exactly.
So no to the coronation.
No, not watching the coronation. This does not excite me. It does not excite my husband at all. He is not a fan of Charles. And I will say my one takeaway from this that surprised me, although I guess it shouldn't, is that Camilla will be queen.
I know.
Not consort. And I really thought they weren't going to make her queen. Even though I'm happy for Chuck and Camilla, after all these years of being in love and all the drama, I'm glad they get to be together, but they ruined Princess Diana's life.
I know.
And he married her under false circumstances and just made her life miserable. And that, so I carry a little grudge about that.
I don't think you're alone. I think a lot of people carry that grudge as far as, and it was interesting. I was talking to my mom this morning because she's similar. Like, she's like, I don't know. I've never really liked Charles. But then she was like, I guess he has done a lot as far as traveling to former colonies to try to do like an apology tour about, you know, sorry about the whole slavery thing.
Oh, our bad.
I guess he's done a lot of conservation.
He is a big conservationist.
And so there's certain stuff as far as, I don't know if that is the forefront when you think of his personality and his legacy far as like the good that he's done.
Yeah, well, exactly. And it's tough to put him up against his mother, who was there in World War II, and it's an entirely different.
Well, it was also there when the monarchy meant still had any kind of
oomph.
Yes, that's the best word for it.
But even she was largely a figurehead.
She was largely a figurehead. But even the monarchy and the empire were still a lot of colonies when she first her coronation happened, right?
Oh, definitely.
And how much of that is sunsetted and been relinquished over her reign and is now even more, like, this is the most figureheady it's ever been, is where it is now, as far as it's just like, oh, the English people pay taxes so you guys can live this lifestyle. And so I kind of get why, as brutal as the British media seems, a little bit of an entitlement of the people of, we get access to your lives because we basically pay your salaries.
Well, there's that.
To not actually do anything.
Except open things.
And show up and look pretty and give us something to talk about.
Right.
That might be too simplistic. So feel free to correct me if you are a big royalist.
Exact, sure.
844-967-2789. All right, so no coronation. What about the Kentucky Derby?
No. Never. I've never been interested in that.
Especially now this year, since four horses have died.
Oh, really?
Have you even heard this?
No.
Yeah, there's 4 dead horses in 6 days at Churchill Downs.
That's terrible.
It's terrible. It's such a bad, terrible.
That's awful.
On its own, it is terrible. I love horses. It is also an indicator of, are we still doing this?
And do we know what they died from?
I think I'd have to go read this article.
There's so many rumors about drugging these animals. And
one shattered a leg. So let's see. America's had fallen out of love with horse racing years before, but the sight of that was 2008. I'm trying to read this, skim this article as we're here. So I don't know exactly how the four different cases, but it's not a good look.
No, it certainly isn't.
It's a bit of a cloud going into the Kentucky Derby. I have a feeling we may do something for. I'm getting to the point where not a lot of fits me.
Well, I have a fascinator you can borrow if you want.
For the hat?
Yeah. See, I am pro hat.
I am pro hat too.
I would wear a hat tomorrow just to wear a hat. Entirely independent of the Kentucky Derby.
So, of all the things that are happening, are you going to do anything today for Cinco de Mayo?
I'm making Mexican food.
Okay.
For dinner.
So, because I feel like there's Cinco de Mayo, the Kentucky Derby, coronation, and we got Mexican food.
And what about you?
I think we might do something to watch the Kentucky Derby. I don't find myself. I will probably not be partaking because I assume that a lot of people who are will be much more intoxicated than I will be allowed to be.
Mint juleps.
And but yeah, I don't think I'll watch the coronation. And I'm certainly not partying for Cinco de Mayo. So what is otherwise a celebratory weekend for many is probably lame. I'll just have to enjoy the sunshine and call it a Friday.
Nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
All right. Well, we introduced this last week. Am I the sphincter? Because we don't want to say the actual word on air because of the FCC. But this is our new Friday afternoon segment where we take some of the more, entertaining submissions from the subreddit of Reddit. That is AITA, which is Am I the
sphincter?
Sphincter. And last week we did one about a young woman whose stepmother was very adamant about changing her name because she had a unique name. And I think we decided that the 16-year-old was not the sphincter.
No.
And for telling her stepmother, I don't like your taste in names because they're boring. This one I feel like is also going to be no sphincter, but, in fact, we may all be just a little bit jealous, but, am I the sphincter for telling my niece to stay in the closet until she gets her inheritance?
Ooh,
this is a 42-year-old male, talking about his 17-year-old niece. So my niece recently confided in me that she is a lesbian. I supported her, let her know I'd be there, etc. Usual ally stuff. However, she told me she was going to come out to the whole world this week. I let her know she should absolutely wait for her grandparents, my parents, to pass. My father is incredibly wealthy and has tens of millions of dollars in assets that he will be passing down once he is gone. My father is a raging homophobe who has flat out stated any gay individual in our family would be written out of the will. And to make sure the rest of us don't just split more money with said gay relative, they will instead have that portion of the inheritance put aside for that family member donated to charitable causes.
Wow.
That money will be erased from the inheritance.
Wow.
Since both my father and mother are incredibly poor health, stage 4 cancer and debilitating dementia, respectively, I told my niece she should just stay in the closet for a little while longer. If she comes out as a lesbian and they find out, she will quite literally lose out on $7 million.
Wow.
She was a little sad, but she was also appreciative since that is obviously a life-changing amount of money that will allow her to live luxuriously until she dies. My wife, however, said, I am being the sphincter. I am telling this poor girl to hide who she is just to appease old bigots. That is true. I am asking her to appease old bigots, but I feel like her life quality will be much better with $7 million at the cost of 1 to 2 years in the closet at tops. I've also seen my father's will and know who is getting what, so my niece is definitely going to receive $7 million as long as my father doesn't rewrite or edit his will. Am I the sphincter for telling my niece to stay in the closet so she can be a millionaire? 844-967-2789. What a unique problem to have.
Seriously. Man.
I say no, because he's not forcing anything. He gave his opinion.
I don't think he's being a bad person. I feel badly for this young woman.
Yeah.
In a couple of different ways, because I'm going to deny who I am for money. Is that a good lesson?
Well, she's going to deny, and I guess it depends on how, you know, what does it look like to come out to the whole world? Because it's interesting, you think she told her parents, who are also children of
the same
bigoted grandparents?
Right.
Did she only confide in her uncle because he's the cool uncle? And so there's some more details as far as, like, she could probably be out to her friends. And if her grandparents are in that bad of health, you know, how much?
Hold not your breath.
What does that mean?
They could hang on for a whole lot longer.
Stage 4 cancer?
You never know, Kristen. I'm sorry, but you don't. Banking on someone else's ill health, I think, is a bad idea.
But would you, at the prospect of hiding a part of your identity for $7 million, you wouldn't do that? I think I would do that.
Oh, I think I would.
I don't think I'd be good at it, but I think I would try.
I don't disagree that I would do that. I am concerned about the long-term ramifications for her. And I don't want her down the road to be like, I denied who I was just for this filthy lucre, and I should never have done that, and I should have been true to myself. And although with $7 million, then she can get a lot of therapy.
Well, that's what I guess that's in giving the, like, one, I think there's the question of what would you do in that situation of whether or not you were going to come out in exchange for $7 million. But there's also, like, in this specific question, which is the task at hand, is he the sphincter for telling her that? I think he's not, because it's still ultimately up to her.
Sure, right.
He's just laid out, because he maybe she hasn't seen the will, and he has, and he goes, listen, you're going to get $7 million.
Trust me on this.
And you do what you want. If it doesn't matter to you, then it doesn't matter to you. But I think ultimately at 17, she should have as much information as possible. So I would say no, he is not.
I agree with you. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. If you would like to weigh on, am I the sphincter? Our very own civic media, Todd Alba, is on the line.
Hello,
thanks for joining us, Todd. What do you want to say?
Kathy and Joanne, it's great to be on the show again. It's great to be with you. this morning I messed up Kristen's husband's name, so I'm sorry about that.
Oh, stop apologizing. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, the problem is both of you have lovely long-term significant others. Most of my relationships don't last long enough to know each other's name. So that's a whole other story. But let me tell you right now. For $7 million, I'll go back in the closet. I mean, come on. $7 million?
That's a lot of money.
Like you said, Kristen, these people are going to kick off in the bucket, stage 4 cancer, stay in the closet, buy yourself about $1,000 rainbow carnation bouquet, put on the casket of these SOBs, and call it a day.
I would go back. That's would you actually go back in the closet for $7 million, or are you being funny? Todd? Did we lose him?
Oh,
hello, Chris.
No, Todd, would you actually go back in the closet for $7 million, or are you just being funny? Oh, we dropped him.
Oh, we lost him.
Ah, Todd. I'm going to text him that question, because it's a very funny joke, but it's interesting. All right, well, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. It's Friday is here. The weekend is here. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
White shirt now with my bloody nose sleeping. Yeah, on your tippy toes creeping around like no one knows. Think you're so criminal. Bruises on both my knees for you. Don't say thank you. Oh, please, I do.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday morning at 10:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
It's spring. Wake up. Everybody, it's springtime. Spring is here. Spring is here, spring is here, spring is here, spring is here.
Spring is here.
Spring is here.
Spring is finally here. With the snow and ice no longer seen.
The leaves are finally turning green.
That's why it's time to sing.
Spring is here, spring is here, spring is here.
Spring is here.
It is here.
It is here. I think officially with a 10-day forecast that looks like this, I think we can say spring is here. May 5th. We're calling it. Sure.
I'm putting the shovel away today.
All right.
Yeah.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Mattenair. Was that SpongeBob?
No, this was from a movie called Lost in the Woods, which I have never heard of until I found it this morning.
What? Did you look it up at all?
Or we just, I was looking
it's like
for
a random musical?
It was Lost in the Woods, and it's all creatures. So there's a squirrel and there's turtles and there's baby birds and we're singing.
Is it old? Or is it like claymation? Because it makes me think of Lost in the Woods, then made me go to the Babes in Toyland. That's, that old movie?
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Is it like that kind of movie?
No. It has to be more recent than that. Because again, these were actual animals.
Like
in the clip.
Oh, I've never heard of that movie. I've never heard that song.
Maybe I just invented it.
Maybe
of,
you did.
I mean,
I'm Googling
air.
Right now, Lost in the World?
In the Woods.
In the Woods. Let's see if anything comes up.
I found it on YouTube.
Oh, 2021. So that looks, it has one star.
Did I say it was good?
I've never heard of this at all. And yes, it has one star on Rotten Tomatoes, which is hilarious. A smart, resourceful boy goes on vacation. No. Or maybe that's 2009. Well, we'll do more research on this because now I'm intrigued. Anyways.
I still like this song.
It sounded a little SpongeBob-y. But tomorrow, if you're in Waukesha, Saturday, May 6th, the Waukesha YMCA will be hosting a Stuff the Truck event from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. to collect donation items for Hebron?
Hebron House.
Hebron House. Mm-hmm. It's an event that is in partnership with Two Men and a Truck's National Movers for Moms donation drive intended to provide mothers in need with basic necessities so they can enjoy their Mother's Day,
That's
which
great.
Is May 14th. If you do not know that and you need to get a gift for your mother.
Get going on it now.
May 14th. But I actually was less familiar with Hebron House. And so it's basically what I've learned through this is they've been active in Waukesha for 40 years and they serve as an advocate and resource for those struggling with homelessness throughout the city. And so their goal is to get people off the streets and on a path to improving their lives. And it's the largest nonprofit provider of services to unhoused men, women, and children in Waukesha County.
They do a lot of good.
So there you go. So yeah. So on Saturday, you can show up to the Waukesha YMCA parking lot between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. There's going to be music and food, and you can drop off full-size, unopened donation items such as toiletries and hygiene products, women's underwear and clothing, light jackets, baby and kids' clothes, cleaning products, pillows, hairbrushes, trash bags, and non-perishable food items and gift cards. Also welcome.
Fabulous.
So if you can't make it on Saturday, the Waukesha YMCA is also going to have a donation box available in their lobby until May 11th. So yeah, so make your mother proud by helping families in need this Mother's Day. So feel good about that.
Yeah, definitely. And don't forget, another sign of spring, that it is officially official. Waukesha's Farmers Market starts tomorrow.
There you go.
At 8 a.m., and our very own Johnny Watermullen will be out there. So look for the WAUK booth that he's going to have set up. He will have some treats, apparently.
Ooh.
I do not believe that Ziggy the Wonder Dog will be there. Ziggy was actually in the office yesterday. He can do all kinds of tricks. It's really?
I've not seen these tricks.
It's really, I mean, beyond just the sit and lay down, he rolls over. He can play dead.
Ooh. Does he go like bang? And then
Johnny does, yeah.
All right.
Yep. But again, I do not know that Ziggy the Wonder Dog will be making an appearance tomorrow, but Johnny Watermullen will be there, and I know he does tricks as well.
How are the farmers markets with dogs? It's usually a friendly thing as long as you have a well-behaved dog?
I would imagine so.
I don't know what Cliff would do. Cliff cannot do many tricks. He knows how to sit. That's about it.
But Cliffy is very antagonistic towards other dogs. Is he not?
It's funny because yes. Short answer, yes. But I feel like on a one-on-one situation with other dogs and a one-on-one situation with a person who's like walked into the house or on the street, he gets all barky.
Mm-hmm.
But in like big groups, like if we take him to like a street fair, I think it's too many people and there's too many things to bark at. So
okay.
He just shuts up. He actually is fine in bigger group situations than he is.
One-on-one. I'm taking you on mano a mano.
Mano a mano.
Yeah.
But, well, yeah. Well, today was fun.
It was great. We had a great week. We had wonderful, wonderful guests. And thank you to everybody who called and texted and sends us emails. And I know you see comments on the streams
mm-hmm.
a lot more than I do because we're kind of handling different things during the course of the show. So it just makes it so much more fun and so much more educational.
Absolutely.
For all of us.
What did you choose? What's going to be on the best of for this weekend? What did you choose? What was your favorites from this week?
It's always tough because I can only pick four segments from the week.
Mm-hmm.
But I included the elk camp or
okay.
the elk spotting
okay.
segment with the Wisconsin DNR because we love our DNR.
We love our DNR.
And all the work that they do. And I believe the other one was yesterday from 12 to 12:30. I'm trying to think off the top of my head who the guest was. This is what happens when you get old, Kristen. I can't remember what happened yesterday.
What happened yesterday? Yesterday was Thursday, the 4th, and at 12:30 we had... Oh, no, we had Dr. Lyerly.
Oh, yep. Kristen.
Okay.
Yep, it's got to be Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
So that was, yeah, okay, perfect.
Will be the...
Which we still need to come up with the...
The name.
Well, we have plenty of names, but over the weekend, we'll get together with Kristen and decide what the actual name is, but...
And some of those were just...
I said that to
priceless.
Todd this morning, And I said, I'm not sure there's ever been a Wisconsin radio show that had more said more euphemisms for the word vagina in in one segment than we did yesterday. My mom said she was laughing pretty hard. Oh, so that's always good. The litmus test, right?
That's, hey, if mom is laughing, that's a good sign.
If mom's laughing and not embarrassed, very good sign. All right. Well, thank you for a great week of shows. Thank you for calling and listening and texting. Come back Monday when we will do this all again. Have a lovely, safe weekend. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Spring is here. Spring is here. Spring is here. Spring is here. Spring is here.
Spring is here.
Spring is here.
Spring is finally here. With the snow and ice no longer seen.
The leaves are finally turning.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your